Congregation, hear the word of God. First from Psalm 119, verses 33 to 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things, and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Then from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Therefore hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it. The word of the Lord. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the most troubling consequences of the COVID-19 pandemic is the effect it has had in the area of education. In-person schooling has been shut down for most of 2020. And the end of this undesirable schedule is not readily discernible. Alternative learning via the internet, while better than nothing, has its own psychological, social, and physical liabilities. And the effect of this unwelcome, and wholesale interruption of the life of our nation, not to mention of the world, has been felt by more than children. School boards, administrators, and teachers alike have suffered much. But mainly it is the children and young people whom we fear have been adversely affected by the virus and its attendant consequences. True it is that homeschooling has had a moderating impact upon this distressful situation by having already in place the means to avoid undue social contact. But the large majority of our nation's young people find themselves adversely impacted, with the negative results still unknown. Much of our society's resource and accomplishment has proven unsuited to negate fully the loss of the invaluable learning our children need. And the long-term consequence of this disastrous unsettling of our nation's knowledge, behavior, and life simply cannot be taken lightly. At the same time, it bears mentioning, even shouting, that even without COVID-19, our nations, our society's educational philosophy, system, and accomplishment deserve serious critique. I say that from the perspective of the Christian religion, and especially of its foundation, the Bible. Truly, the Word of God provides the basis, the method, and the purpose of the entire exercise that we label education. What we find tonight is one of the clearest and most powerful setting forth of the Bible's view of education. Psalm 119, verses 33 to 40, which we have entitled God's School. This stanza of Psalm 119, entitled H-E, pronounced Hey, for the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, with which, as you know now, the first word of each verse begins, lays down this foundational principle. God's school of learning, the sole means by which his people grow in spiritual education, must be sought in prayer. Once more, through the righteousness provided by the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, graciously enabling them to learn and follow the Word and the way of the Lord. And our first point is entitled Position in God's School. Position. This stanza of David's psalm begins with the presupposition, the starting point, that he is not equipped with the initiative, the compulsion, not to mention the ability to go forward on the derech, the way of the Lord. He prays, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. He seeks what he does not have naturally, so he has to pray God for it. That path is laid out in decrees, in commandments of the sovereign Lord of the universe. It is not an open invitation for the children of man to investigate the horizon and determine for themselves the path that most appeals to them. No, the derech of Yahweh is immutable, fixed, and it may not be augmented, updated, or amended at will by people. We saw that this morning particularly. Originally, it was agreed to and accepted as supreme by heart as well as mind by our first parents, Adam and Eve. But the problem is that they fell from that first estate at the implication voiced by the serpent, Satan, that God didn't have the right to tell them the way for them to go. They sadly and sinfully fell for the lie and demanded to go the way they wanted to go. And that grievous error brought about eternal death, not only for themselves, but also for their progeny. They could continue all they wished to seek to educate Cain and Abel about the derrick of life for them to follow. But that learning would in no way erase the deep, deep pit into which those children had fallen with their parents. They too would go their own way, rejecting entirely that of the Lord. No wonder then that David, also a member of that doomed human race, pleads for admission into the school of God. He is not possessed of the right, let alone the tuition, that hopefully would qualify him to sit at the feet of the teacher of the way. All he can do is pray. Teach me, O Lord. That prayer brings us here tonight to the central theme and content of Holy Scripture, which is this. The Bible sets forth a clear, complete, and unavoidable record of the decrees, the statutes, and the commandments of the God, and thus of the way that he has outlined for the heartfelt thoughts and the active behavior of the human beings he has created, including you. That's the first thing you need to see, confess, and face. It is that you are sinful, have sinned, and will continue to do so. And that does not present you with a happy picture at all. But number two is equally present in the entirety of Holy Scripture from beginning to end. The Bible sets forth in the second place that God has not left all of mankind to perish in that state of sin and misery into which they have fallen and from which they cannot arise by their own effort or education. For he has, from all eternity and by virtue of his own good pleasure, determined to deliver a certain elect group called his covenant people by virtue of a redeemer who would make up for their lack and erase their guilt. And David knows that he is not that deliverer, but he firmly believes that such a one is coming. That's the basis on which he offers his humble prayer. Not that he, David, would somehow correct himself, but that God would correct him. For David, everything depends on God's grace and not on his works. So he prays for matriculation into God's school, especially its first grade. Perhaps I should call it God's kindergarten. Not morality 101 in God's university. He knows that he needs to sit at the knees of the God of grace, who alone has provided a means by which he can and will actually keep the Lord's way with his heart to the end. He beseeches God to give him understanding of the covenant of his grace, which you believers here tonight know was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Now, something needs to be said here, and it's this. Admission into God's school is not a right possessed by the general public at large. It is not a public school. Similar to what every child in the United States of America might freely attend. In a sense, it is a private school. Or perhaps more correctly, a home school. And that's why David prays for it. It is available for all the children of God, for every one of his covenant family. Because for them and for them only has the tuition been paid. Jesus paid it all. And because he did, all the benefits, both of his active and his passive obedience, are stored up for that blessed church in this present age and in the world to come. What a happy position, my dear congregation. You share together with David and every other believer in the Savior. Will you not beseech God in fervent prayer, daily? Oh, Lord, teach me the way of your statutes. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. I happily attend your school, the school that your beloved Son established and has given me graciously a position. That's the position of God's school. Now, secondly, progress in God's school. Progress. Here we are paying attention to a matter of equal importance. For it is not only by grace that the children of God are granted admission into his school. It is by grace as well that they are granted divine assistance to enable them to benefit from the education they gain there. And by now you will have understood that when I speak of the children of God, I'm not talking solely of people under the age of 18. Surely the little ones of God's church are members thereof. Jesus said so. Let the little children come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. And he meant that they, even from their earliest years, make up God's school roll. That's why we baptize them. But the big ones go to the same educational institution. And they too need God's assistance in making progress through its grades. That's why David prays in verse 35, "Lead me in the path of your commandments." Once more, that verse, like every other in this stanza of Psalm 119, begins with the Hebrew letter A, which, by the way, when attached to any verb in a Hebrew sentence, has the force of saying, cause the action to take place, A. So here, David is praying, cause me to be led in the right path. Path of your commandments. He's not so much promising to do that as he is praying that God will assist him so that he will do that. It's another prayer, folks. In fact, the whole section called Hey is a series of one prayer after another. That is why David, when meditating upon his progress in God's school, says, I delight in it. He awakens every morning with this happy thought, my God not only lets me go to his school, he also helps me not to fail in it. That's his confidence. Yet still, he prays for that assistance and doesn't take it for granted. Yet another thing to notice about David's prayer that God would help him, indeed cause him, enable him to do well in this his critical education, is brought out in his petition of verse 36. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. He's asking God to turn his heart toward God's word rather than allowing him to pursue selfish gain. You see, the reason behind David's prayer is not that he would get all A's in his classes and thus become the object of deserved adulation by his peers, but that he would testify to God's glory and not to his own when he would learn his lessons well and act according to what God testifies that he wants David to do. That needs to be your purpose as well. Believer in Jesus, when you pray God to bless you and give you success in any venture, that you would be the means by which others would glorify God and not you. That's the purpose behind every prayer, actually. Not what you get, but what God gets. Now notice how David specifies the assistance he needs when, in verse 37, he pleads, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. Eyes are needed for study of God's word, for progress in God's school. Here David does not even speak of what his eyes should be turned toward, only what he wants them to be turned from. He wants to be delivered from worthless things or vanities. There are many worthless things, and they are all alluring. If you are to advance in God's school, you must fix your eyes on the things of God, which are lasting, rather than the things of this world, which are passing away. The number of copies of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress is perhaps second only to that of the Bible. And Psalm 119:37 occurs at a familiar point in the narrative when Christian and faithful come to Vanity Fair on their way to the celestial city. Here all the merchandise of the world is for sale, but those who are in God's school on their way to heaven do not fit in with these people. When they are asked to stop and buy, they run away crying, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. Vanity. They look toward heaven to show where the business of their lives is. Then David continues with this prayer of verse 38. which tackles another need he has for God's help. And that brings us to our third point. Perseverance. Position, progress. Now, perseverance in God's school. He prays, "Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared." For he needs not only position and progress in God's school, perhaps most importantly, he desperately needs perseverance in God's school. Encouragement to make it through to graduation. You see, faced by temptation and the dangers of life, David is aware that he needs help in order to persevere to the end. And he knows that the only help to be had is from God. For he cannot depend on his own resources, nor even those of his closest associates, to provide that assistance. Thus he prays, "O Lord, fulfill your promise so that you may be feared." If David makes it ever through this school of life, it will be only because Yahweh God has determined and promised it. And just where is that promise to be found? There's no reason that he is thinking of any one promise. Rather, he is thinking of the entirety of the Word of God, as he has been doing all along in this psalm and will continue to do throughout. The noun translated promise here is actually one of the Hebrew terms for word, sometimes translated a saying, because it comes from the verb to say. The reason for the choice of this particular verb here is that the psalmist knows if he is to complete his course of study, he will have to live by God's word at all times and in all its parts, not picking and choosing. This verse is a perfect Old Testament expression of what Jesus said to Satan when he was tempted by him to turn stones into bread. He told him, "Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Matthew 4:4. David knows that. He is sure that all God's word is a promise of life completed by all those who repent of sin and determine to go God's way, as well as a promise of death and judgment for those who reject the gospel message. David clings to the promise of life because he stands in awe of God. When God is feared, people last to the end. It's the last letter, isn't it, of the Reformed Creed known as TULIP. The perseverance of the saints. Jeremiah put it succinctly in these memorable words. "Stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls." Jeremiah 6:16. And there exactly is the ground of the promise the Lord makes to David. The good way is the ancient way, because it is the way set forth fully, finally, and faithfully in God's revealed word, the Bible. The world may scoff that Bible is outmoded by present discoveries and more mature thinking. But the truth is that the Bible sets forth the ancient path. Stay on it, and you will make it to the end. Reject it, or try to amend it even slightly, and you will forfeit hope of perseverance unto eternal life. And as a preacher of God's word, for him, I ask you tonight, do you fear God? Do you live by every word from his mouth? Now, the last two verses of this section of Psalm 119 bring in a new idea that in terms of attending God's school, perseverance compares to dropping out. It's the exact opposite, of course. When young people drop out of high school, as all too many do today, especially from urban schools, there is very little future for them. They can now labor in low-paying jobs, or they can sell drugs. They forsake the ancient path of persistent learning and hard-working preparation for a skilled and socially profitable occupation. They opt for a shortcut, avoiding the cost of education's sweat and grind, and all too often find the alternative path, in the end, a far more painful end. Believers, too, need to learn this lesson, not only when it comes to their physical and social lives, but more importantly, when it comes to their eternal destiny. And that's why this believer, David, prays in verse 39, "Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good." Now, it's not absolutely certain whether by these words David fears the disgrace brought on by God because of the writer's sin. That is, he could disgrace himself by his disobedience. Or, on the other hand, it could be disgrace heaped on him by sinners because of his faithful adherence to God's law. And commentators almost equally argue upon these two choices back and forth. This disagreement probably cannot be resolved with certainty. But in either case, the danger is the same. The danger of dropping out of God's school, either because of personal failure or because of other people's scorn, whatever. Don't do it. Don't drop out, my dear Christian friends. God's school is great and it is wonderful. And your success in graduating therefrom does not depend upon your genes, your upbringing, or your social status. It depends on Jesus Christ, the world's only perfect student and graduate. Our section of the marvelous psalm ends with this heartening conclusion of verse 40. "Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life." Every believer needs to pray that God would look not upon his or her record, because all will have to confess that such never qualifies as a passing grade. In fact, it's a zero. Say rather, oh God, behold, look rather upon this examination paper, the one submitted by your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That record. And though he is equal to you in status, holiness, and might, his righteousness, demonstrated by active fulfillment of all the requirements of examination by the law of God, gets an A plus at your judgment seat. And as for all of my wrong answers, he erased that entire sorry account from my record by his atoning sacrifice and death. It is that gospel for which I long. It is that Savior that I love. And it is by your boundless grace, O Lord, that I have firm hope to graduate someday from this, your school, to life under a new heaven and on a new earth. Let's pray. Oh Lord, sometimes we don't want to go to school. We want to stay home and play. But oh Lord, will you deliver us from that folly? Turn our eyes away from the vanities of this world and cause us with gratitude and joy, true joy, to thank you for the school of life that Jesus earned and walked for us. And in union with him, attend that school, receive that help, and persevere to graduation. In Christ's name we pray.